Welcome to St. James Bible Bites. This podcast was recorded at our online reflective prayer, which takes place each Monday and Wednesday at 9:15. The full recording can be found on our Facebook page. Today our reflection is from our curate, the Reverend David Wilkie, entitled Lift Our Eyes to You. If you would like to listen to the Pete Gregg interview and Asbury University, the link can be found on our Facebook page for ease.
So let's read Daniel 9 and see what he has to say for us.
Then I turned to the Lord God to seek an answer by prayer and supplication with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. I prayed to the Lord my God and made confession, saying, Ah, Lord, great and awesome God, keeping covenant and steadfast love with those who love you and keep your commandments. We have sinned and done wrong, acted wickedly and rebelled, turning aside from your commandments and ordinances. We have not listened to your servants, the prophets, who spoke in your name to our kings, our princes, our ancestors, and to all the people of the land. Now, therefore, O our God, listen to the prayer of your servant and to his supplication. And for your own sake, Lord, let your face shine upon your desolate sanctuary. Incline your ear, O my God, and hear. Open your eyes and look at our desolation and the city that bears your name. Do not present our supplication before you on the ground. We do not present our supplication before you on the ground of our righteousness, but on the ground of your great mercies. O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, listen and act and do not delay. For your own sake, O my God, because your city and your people bear your name. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. And there we have 1 Timothy 6:6 to 19.
Of course, there is great gain in godliness combined with contentment, for we brought nothing into the world, so we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with these. But those who want to be rich fall into temptation and are trapped by many senseless and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. And in their eagerness to be rich, some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pains. But as for you, man of God, shun all this. Pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called and for which you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses, in the presence of God who gives life to all things and of Christ Jesus, who in his testimony before Pontius Pilate made the good confession, I charge you to keep the commandment without spot or blame until the manifestation of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he will bring about at the right time. He who is the blessed and only sovereign, the King of kings and Lord of lords. It is he alone who has immortality and dwells in unapproachable light, whom no one has ever seen or can see. To him be honor and eternal domination. Amen. As for those who in the present age are rich, command them not to be haughty or to set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches, but rather on God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. They are to do good, to be rich in good works, generous and ready to share, thus storing up for themselves the treasure of a good foundation for the future, so that they may take hold of life that really is life. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thanks be to God. So we have Daniel, who's located in Babylon in exile, and he's saying, you know, like, they realize what they've done wrong now, and he's interceding for the whole of Israel. You know, hear, O Lord. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, listen and act, and do not delay. And he prays throughout Daniel for their rescue and for their, you know, for God's will to be done in that place. And then we have in 1 Timothy, is this, there's an interesting thing, a thread about money here, the money being the root of evil, the rich fall into temptation. But there's also this middle passage here. It's almost, after reading Tom Wright, I realized, yeah, often I can read this, it's just like a nice list. So that's like, oh, it's a very nice list to live as Christians. Fight the good fight. Yeah, it's a good manifesto. But what he's actually saying is that the way this is set out and the way this is written is in direct opposition to Caesar, to the emperor, the Roman emperor, and the Greek thinking as well. So we often, when you sign up to be a soldier in the Roman army, you're given a manifesto of the things that you're to do, and you're to be a soldier and to keep the peace was to make a path of violence, really, and to fight the good fight. And here we have characteristics that aren't really that, you know, they're not of the Roman Empire: righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. And then fight the good fight of faith, take hold of the eternal life, because the emperor was the only one who was immortal at the time. He's the only one who could live forever and was like a god. And so he's coming in the face of that as well. And God gives presence of all things. And the only sovereign King of Kings and Lord of Lords. It's like a really bold statement against Caesar. And it's he alone who has immortality, not the Caesar, not the Roman Emperor, and dwells in an unapproachable light whom no one has seen or can see. And so this, and here we have coming against this idea that rich, if you're rich, then you've been blessed and you're doing everything right, and God must love you because you are rich. And it's just a circular argument, whereas he actually is saying, you know, don't just seek riches. And if you are rich, then to do works that are generous and not just to store it up. And it's a good reminder, actually, of that God is Lord of all. And even when things go wrong, like in Daniel or in the Psalms, that God is still there. Now, what I've been listening to recently, and it's Ash Wednesday, so we're called to kind of repent and to remember that God is over all things. And what I've been looking at recently is this, what's been called a revival in Ashbury, in the university in America. And what is, there's a great interview of Pete Gregg talking to Mark Sayers over in Australia that I'll try and share somehow. But there's this great interview where Pete Gregg is saying, you know, this is amazing, because this is Gen Z or Gen Z. It's a 25 and under. And when it started in this university, they have part of this university that is a seminary. That is, you know, you're learning about the Bible. They go to chapel every day. And you also have this other part of the university that they're meant to go for credits. They're meant to go to church once a week. They're meant to go to this chapel. And they don't do it much. And it's in this other chapel, where they don't go very often, is where it's all kicked off. And so what's happened was a really mundane service. The guy who did the sermon said it was nothing special. In fact, he hadn't prepared properly. And Pete Gregg loved that, because he just, like, on all the elements of it, it's just simple worship. There was no video. There's no lights. There's no, like, amazing quote that you could think, oh, God acted on that. It's not like manpower. It's not manufactured. And yet when they said, okay, we finished now, does anyone want to come for prayer or stay if you want? People stayed. And then people start to ask to skip lectures and come in, and they just start, people were drawn to it in God's presence. And what's wonderful about it is that it's kept this humility. So the leaders there are very humble and they're young. And whereas over time, as people have come to visit it, they haven't got the leaders up on the stage of these big churches. And one worship, there's a story Pete Gregg said of one worship leader. He said, oh, can I help you out? Because the worship leader has been doing it for ages. So the student got down and said, yeah, you can have a go, but we'll pray for you first. So they prayed for him, and he got up. And then after a few songs, they got back up and said, actually, we need you to stop now. We don't feel like your heart's in the right place. And what they didn't realize was he was a massive worship pastor of this big church. And it's like these young people had really caught something, and they're humbly going with it. And Fox News turned up with their TV cameras, and they're like, can we film something? And they said, no, you can't. How cool is that? You know, often we think we need to use TV and internet and all this stuff to get the word out, but God's doing his own thing there. So what I love about it is the humility of it, and that it's coming from through the young people. The testimonies are through the young people, and it's just captured people's imagination. It's still going on, and it's been 12 days or something. And there's Q's. It's a small town of 3,000 odd people. It's like a university campus, and now there's been over 100,000 people that have visited it. It's just gone. It's gone well. So I don't know what we'll learn from this or what it's for, but I love the fact that it hasn't got a big celebrity at the center of it. I love that it hasn't got I love the fact that it's built on this humility, and actually young people seeking something that's real, authentic, rather than a huge worship gig or a big seminary. You know, it's just like God's doing his own thing. And that's really encouraging. That often when we feel like we're in exile or we're not sure what's going on, that actually God has control. God is sovereign. And in the meantime, when we're not sure, we're to pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. We're not called to things higher than that, really. And that it's a wonderful reminder. And I think we should pray for this morning. I pray that as long as it needs to, it continues in that spirit. It doesn't get twisted into anything else, that they're protected. And that it rubs off on us as well, that we give space to 25-year-olds and under in our communities. And actually, what might God do through them to teach us about how we're to approach God? And it's an interesting times that we live in. So let's pray. Lord, first of all, I give you thanks for all the moments in Christian history where we have witnessed revival, where we have seen you acting, Lord. And Lord, you know exactly what we all need, and you know what this next generation of young people, what they need. Often we think we know the answer, and then you do something different. And I love the fact that this is just full of gentleness. This revival's full of like a sense of peace amongst a generation that are of the most anxious, the most lonely, the most desperate. And you come with your peace. And the worship there is just gentle. The teaching is simple, Lord. And I love that. I love that it's rooted in you. So God, we pray for protection over them, that it would remain rooted in you, Lord, that they would be chasing after you, Jesus. And you'd show us through them what the church of the future might look like. Mm-hmm. And Lord, we pray for more of this. We pray that it would spread. We pray for you would teach us through this. Mm-hmm. So often in this country, it feels like we've been in exile. Like our numbers have declined as we've lost power in the halls of power. If we've we've just tripped over ourselves, and there's been some toxic leadership and all these kind of things, Lord. The church has been in a bit of a mess, but Lord, we pray that the Holy Spirit would just fill it again. Lord, would you help us? And then this Ash Wednesday, Lord, we come before you and confess our sins. We are sorry for the things that we have done wrong. Lord, would you lift our eyes to you? Would you help us to welcome people through our doors with gentleness, with love, and let us endure with them, Lord. Let us endure with one another so that we can learn more from you. So if you would like to hear that interview with Pete Gregg and Mark Sayers, there's a podcast called Rebuilders. If you see a big R on whatever podcast player you listen to, or you look at it online. So let's just go to Rebuilders. He's got a recent interview with Pete Gregg. And so Pete Gregg has just been out there. He's the guy who's written God on Mute and other books on prayer, How to Hear God. He's a famous author and someone I trust as well, which matters. And so we go there, and then it's a bonus episode, and it's all about Asbury University and his visit there.
For more Bible Bite podcasts, simply visit our website, www.stjamestaunton.co.uk, and click on resources. Thank you for listening, and may God be with you today.